If you have your Bibles this morning, I'm going to be jumping around a little bit this morning, but we're going to start out in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Let's stand in honor of reading God's Word. Hebrews 9, verse 27. I didn't know what I was going to preach just a while ago, but you know, every song that we sang had to do with what God was giving me to preach. So, and the Word says, and just as it is appointed for people or man to die once, and after this, the judgment. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning, and again, I praise you and honor you. Thanks for the opportunity to be in your house, Lord. Father, thank you for calling me to preach, Lord God, and I pray that as I stand behind this pulpit, Lord God, to represent you, Lord God, that it is all for your glory, Lord God, and that you use me for a mouthpiece of your people. And God, I pray that your word will not fall on deaf ears, Lord God, but Father, that it would fall on people wanting to learn, wanting to know, Lord God, and to take your word and to live it and apply it to their lives. Father, we praise you, we honor you, we pray for all those that are sick this morning, Lord God. I lift up Brother Charlie Whitten to you, Lord God, and Miss Terry, Lord, and Father Ricky and Melissa, Lord, and Father Brother Todd, and Father, just all those that are sick, Brother Ryan, Lord God, and Tanya, and the kids, that just lift them up to you, Lord God. And pray, God, that you just heal us all, Lord God, and we just give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it all. In your name we pray. Amen. You may wonder why I went to this morning. As we were singing songs, the Lord laid this on my heart yesterday, but I got to thinking about life, and I was sitting at the funeral I conducted yesterday. I was looking at the people and the kids and the grandkids and all the friends and loved ones that were at this funeral. And I told them one thing. You know, when we get up in the morning, we have to make choices. We have to make we're going to brush our teeth. We're going to take a bath. What clothes we're going to wear. What time we got to be at work. On and on and on through the day, we got to make choices. And we do those choices like it's nothing to it because it's routine. One thing that's routine in our lives, it better be, is that we have to make a choice on where we're going to spend eternity. And that is the most important choice that you will ever make is what are you going to do with eternity? And every time I go to a funeral, I look out there and I see the sadness and the sorrow, and I mean, that's just normal. But I want you to realize this morning, I want you to be happy because we got the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But we also one day, as the verse says, it says, it is appointed man to die, and then the judgment. And I want you to understand something about that this morning is that judgment, it don't come, you know, the world and theology and all the things. Y'all might get tired of me saying that, but I have come to the realization this year, the last 8 or 9 months, that either I'm different or the world is different. Because regardless of what the world says about death and about dying, and there's a purgatory that you go to, or there's some place you go to that we can pray for 15 years and pray you out of purgatory into heaven. Regardless of what all them theologians and all them smart people say, my old Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed man to die. And then you will face the judgment. That's what it says. But the wonderful part of all this is, and we've been going through John on Wednesday nights, and last Wednesday night, we were in John chapter 5, verse 24. You can turn to that with me if you want to. John chapter 5, verse 24 says some of the most wonderful things about salvation that, you know, like I said, and y'all have heard me say it, and I guess I will say it as long as the Lord tells me to. There are so many religions, there are so many cults, there are so many things out there that you have to do a certain amount of things, a certain amount of ways in order to obtain salvation. Again, God don't say that. And in John chapter 4, verse 24, this is the most, some of the most promising, encouraging words that are in the Bible. And God fulfills every promise that he has promised us. And he says in Hebrews 24, Hebrews 5, verse 24, is that what I told y'all again? John 5, 24. I'll get straightened out in a minute. That's what it goes when you use too many scriptures. But I want you to listen. John 5, verse 24. Jesus said, and Jesus is saying this, no man, not one of the Pharisees, not one of the Sadducees, that, not one of the scribes that we talked about last week, but Jesus is saying this. And he said, I assure you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He said, Jesus said, not some preacher, not some theologian, not some doctor, not somebody that writes 4,000 books in his lifetime and sells another one every year. It's Jesus Christ said, I assure you, I promise you, there's no doubt. I assure you, if anyone hears my word and believes him who sent me, has eternal life and will not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life. You understand what that says? Jesus said, anybody that hears his word and believes it, if you hear his word and you believe it, you are saved. Well, you preacher, that's not what I heard. You got to do this, you got to do that. I don't care what you heard, what somebody told you. God's word says, anyone, he says, I assure you, I promise you. It's just like, you know, your daddy and mama, when they had you, they loved you. They have a love that a parent has for his child. But Jesus, and a lot of times that love gets broken and that love gets thrown away. But let me tell you, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords says, I assure you, anyone who hears my word and believes, if you hear his word and you believe that this is God's word, that's what he says. If you hear that and you believe that, then you pass from death to life. In other words, when you were born, you have a sentence of death on you. You're born. A little old baby comes into the world. From the point that it draws its first breath till its last breath, that baby, or you and I, when we were born, are appointed. We're of sin. Jesus Christ came to this world in the likeness of a man, and he had to become a man because we were unable to do anything that he asked in this book and do it 100%. You understand that? Do you realize that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God himself in the flesh, came to the world as a man? He had the same feelings. He had the same temptations. He had every hurt, every pain that you will have. I can't imagine every time I get sick or when I was going through these knee surgeries, my leg would get to hurt, and I'd say, Lord, I know this hurts, but it didn't hurt. It don't hurt near as what you hurt on that cross. He went through all that pain. He was a man just like you and I. And I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but we sometimes look at Jesus like, now he is somebody. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. But we look at him like, I can't talk to him. He's too high. He's too powerful. I can't talk to him. The Bible says, anyone who hears my word, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me, who believes God, who sent Jesus Christ, has eternal life and will not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life. In verse 25, he says, I assure you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. The dead will hear the voice of God. When Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, comes back to this earth, if you are dead in the grave, let me try to explain this. Your body is laying in that grave. When you die, your soul goes to heaven or hell. Your soul, you that speak, you that think, you that talk, you that believe, goes to be with Jesus Christ, goes before him. We just read it. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed a man to die and then the judgment. That soul goes to be with Jesus Christ. That body is in the graveyard. And when Jesus Christ, he says, I assure you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. In other words, those dead bodies that's out there in the graveyard, when Jesus Christ calls our name, we will hear because we are children of God, and we will go to meet that soul that is already with Jesus in the sky, and at that point we will have a glorified body. Amen. Jesus proved everything that when Jesus died, he went to that tomb. He arose from that grave after those 3 days in the tomb. And what did he look like? He looked like he did when he went in there. Except he had a glorified body. He could in one instance, he walked through a wall. He could appear to people. He appeared to his disciples going down the road. They was walking down the road. He walked right in among them, and they didn't know who he was. So you see, when we die and we get that glorified body with Jesus, we will be in the likeness of him. We won't be Christ, but we will have a glorified body and a glorified spirit, and we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. When we hear that, and Jesus proved all this before he left, we would have this to go back to. Lazarus was in the grave. Now, I love that. I love this one. They told Jesus, he stinks. Mary and Martha, he stinks. He stinketh. He's been in that grave. We can't do that. And Jesus said, y'all, let's get back. Lazarus. And when he said Lazarus, come out of that grave. One day, whether you're here on this earth alive, or whether you in one of these cemeteries around here, or whether you're sitting in an urn at the house, or whether your ashes are thrown in the ocean, wherever that is, when Jesus calls your name, you are going to be with him. And you're going to get a glorified body. He told Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus walked right out of the grave. And so he assures us that hour is coming. And when that hour comes, we're going to go and be with him. How hard is that? I told him yesterday at that funeral. And again, some of y'all may get mad at me. Just have to get mad. Religion has ruined the church. Religion has ruined this world. Religion has just about turned, I don't know how many percent of the people in the population in the United States or the world against believing anything because man has it so mixed up. I sent this out on one of my morning devotionals last week, this very verse. Go home and read that verse and just let it soak in. Jesus Christ is talking about life and judgment, and he says, hey, I assure you, I promise you, that red, yellow, black, and white, don't make any difference. Anyone that make any difference if you a drug addict, a prostitute, a murderer, a robber, a thief, what happened to the thief on the cross? The thief looked over at him, and one thief said, if you be the Son of God, like they say you are, well, get us down from here. And the other one looked at him and said, hey, man, this man has done nothing. And Jesus looked at him and said, this day you live with me in paradise. Did that guy go to confirmation classes? Did that guy get baptized? Do we ever know? We know he didn't read the Bible because all they had was the manuscripts back then. What did he do? He believed in Jesus Christ. That's what he done. And that's what the Bible... See, we're hooked up on... You got to... What, give you my testimony. When I was a kid, my daddy was a preacher. Preached all my life. Right over in that old church house. These camp meetings here. Went all over the country in the summertime having revivals in Missouri and Arkansas and West Virginia. All over the country. And I had heard about Jesus at one point in my life. That's all I wanted. I don't want to hear it no more. I just don't. It was beating to my head, you know. And I was scared to death because I've told y'all before, I love my daddy with all my heart. Brother Bill Botard, Sister, all those preachers in the past. That's the reason this church is here, because of them. But they preached hell, fire, and brimstone. They did. I mean, I had a lady tell me at the funeral yesterday, she said, I remember your daddy, he had a chart that they used and had a picture of hell and flames coming out of it. Yep, that's right. They had that old chart that they preached. And they preached hell, fire, and brimstone. And there come a point in my life when I was about 18 years old, I said, I can't do this. There is no need in me letting this run me crazy, because there is no way that I am going to be able to do all this that you got to do. So I just quit. Not realizing these verses in this Bible. Jesus said, don't get me wrong. Don't go home and say, that preacher said you. That preacher didn't say nothing. Jesus said it. Jesus said, I, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, assure you that anyone who hears my word and believes, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes. He didn't say, for God so loved the world, or whosoever goes to church every time the door's open. Now, don't get me wrong. I want you to come to church. And if you get saved, you're going to want to come to church. But what I'm trying to say is, I had a guy tell me yesterday that a certain church wanted him to teach Sunday school, but he couldn't teach it because he wasn't a member. Now, can you imagine? That's what I'm talking about, religion. We want you to teach Sunday school, and you're a good Sunday school teacher. We want you to take this class, but you're going to have to join our church. And he said, I don't feel like God wants me to join that church. And I'm going to tell you something. Y'all have heard me say this 1,000 times. And I'll say this till I draw my last breath. Church membership does not mean anything. It's okay to join this church. That's okay. But I'm talking about people put their... I pastored 3 Baptist churches, 2 Baptist churches before this one. And if somebody coming to that church that was going to the Assembly of God Church or the Church of Christ, or they got to be baptized in the Baptist, got to be rebaptized. Does Jesus say anything about getting rebaptized? Now, he tells us to get baptized. But baptism does not save you. When I first came to church here, there was a lady that's dead and gone now, and I was able to talk to her and get everything straight. But she said all of her kids, she's going to try to get them to come to church because 4 of them hadn't been baptized. She had 6 kids. 4 of them hadn't been baptized, and if they didn't get baptized, they wasn't going to go to heaven. I went to her house the next day, and we sat down, and I explained that to her, that you want them to get baptized, but before you get baptized, you got to have Jesus. You got to confess Jesus Christ, that you believe in him. You see, the world, though, has made it. My oldest son, was going to the Methodist church in Huntsville. In Navasota, I have no problem with Methodists. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to wind that up in a minute. But he was going to these classes. He had to go to these classes for 6 weeks in order to get baptized and join a church. Does Jesus say anything? Jesus says, anyone who hears my word and believes them is saved. Passing from death to life. Amen. That's what he said. Jesus don't say you got to wear a certain kind of clothes. You got to go to Sunday school every Sunday. You got to go to church every time the doors open. You got to know the Bible backwards and forwards. Jesus don't say that. That comes with being saved. That comes with salvation. But Jesus don't tell you to do that because he knows you ain't going to do it. And that's the reason he came from heaven to earth, because he sent prophet after prophet after prophet, and every man that he sent failed. And he said, he loved us enough. God loved us enough to send his son to die on that cross that we would have eternal life. And so he said, well, they can't do it. I'm going to go do it for them. And that's what he did. He came to earth. He walked on this earth. He taught men the way of the Bible, the way that he wanted us to live. He was crucified on that cross for that. He shed his blood that we would have salvation. He arose from that tomb to show us that one day you're going to die, but I got that covered too. He arose from that grave. He walked among people. He even ate with them. He ate fish on the side of the seashore. Y'all catch the fish and I'll cook it. He even ate fish with the people on the side of the seashore to show them that this was going to be real. You see, people think that heaven is going to be some mysterious place out there. Some, you know, we're going to all be angelic beings. We're going to, you know, there is angelic beings. There's angels, maybe angels among us. We don't know. God said, be careful who you entertain, because there may be angels among you. There is angels. One of the greatest preachers ever was wrote a book, 500 pages on angels, Billy Graham. There is angels. But when we get to heaven, God said that you will be known as you were known. When your body leaves that grave and goes and joins that spirit, you're going to have a glorified body. And you're going to be able, there's going to be, Revelation 21 says, and there's a new heaven. There's a new earth, and there's even hell fire, that lake of fire. Right now, there is a hell. When you go before God, if you don't know him, you go to hell. There ain't nowhere you can go and cool for a few thousand years and then go to hell when the end of the world comes. You're going to hell. That's what the Bible says. So that's right. You're going to go to hell. But you don't have to go through all of this stuff that man has come up with in order to be saved. God gave his son as a gift. And God led me to the scripture this morning. I was sitting right there in John 14, 1. And Jesus and his disciples, I can see them standing by the seashore, sitting up on the rocks on the side of the hill. And he said, hey, y'all come here and listen. Got something else I want to tell you. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And he said, if not, I would have told you. I'm going, that same I that I assure you, I am going. I'm going to prepare a place for you. If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. You know the way to where I'm going. And not nobody here can tell him when they get there that they don't know how to get there. Or they don't know where he's at, because old Dalton Thomas was sitting over on a stump. Probably had a big dip of snuff in his mouth running down his cheek. And he said, how do we don't know where you're going. The scripture said, Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. How can we get there? How do we know the way? And Jesus probably looked at him and said, Lord, have mercy, Thomas. I've told you this 1,000 times. Just like he listened. I've told y'all. He said, Thomas, I, that same I that assured you, I assure you, let not your heart be troubled. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through the Son. Now, that's it. That's it. Thomas, that's it. People sitting there in Oakhurst Full Gospel Church this morning, that's it. The only way to get to heaven is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and confess your sins to Him and believe in Him. But you don't have to join this church. We like to see you join this church. But joining this church, joining the Baptist church, the Methodist church, the Presbyterian church, the Catholic church, the Church of Christ, the Church of God, the Seventh-day Adventist, the Jehovah's Witness, the Mormons, that has nothing to do with going to heaven when He calls on your name. What has something to do is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you believe that He's the King of Kings? Do you believe He went to that cross, that He died and shed His blood, that He arose from that tomb, that He walked with, and over 500 people saw Him, people ate with Him, and He ascended into heaven, and He told you and I, told the disciples, now, I'm going to go. Don't be troubled. Believe in me. Believe in my Father. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And I'm going to go there and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, this messes up theologians too, I will come again and receive you unto myself. For where I am, there you'll be also. Well, wait a minute. How many times have you heard people say that? When somebody dies, the angels come and get them. I said a while ago, they go to purgatory, they go to this cooling spot to wait till they go to heaven. What did Jesus say? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And He said, let me find it here. If I go and prepare a place for you, I assure you, anybody that believes in me will go from death to life. And that same I, will come and get you Himself. I believe with all of my heart, the day that my mother died, we were all in the room and she was real sick and dying, and we kept on telling her, Mama, go. Just Jesus has got His hand out, go. And when she finally slipped away, there was a peace that came over that room that goes beyond anything that I can ever explain. And when my daddy died, and when my precious granddaughter committed suicide, I knew that she was okay. I knew, because that I that told us that, I assure you, anyone who believes, because they believed, they knew, and they went to heaven. And not some angel come. Some angel didn't come and get them. Jesus said, if I go, I will come again and receive you myself. A lot of people say, well, He's talking about the second coming. He's going to come then too. But the second coming of Christ is going to be different than a lot of people think. He's just going to be in the clouds and we're going to go to Him. We're going to go to be with Him. Then, when that tribulation period is over and all that is over, then we're going to all come back and He's going to take names and we're going to get to what? You see, it is not like, you could pick up books and, you could look at different religions, and man has got all these beliefs, and God Himself, His Son, Jesus Christ, sitting there with these guys, not in a $4 million building. Thomas probably sitting on a stump or old rock over there. And Jesus said, y'all pay attention now. Don't be troubled. He knew he was fixing to leave. And don't let your heart be troubled about all the stuff that's going on in this world, all of the negativeness. Because Jesus Christ said, let not your heart be troubled. And if he said, let not your heart be troubled, I'm not going to worry about it. Because whatever happens, however it goes, I know without a doubt, I can stand here before you, and if he comes before 12 o'clock, it's like 5 minutes, 6 minutes to 12. If he comes at 5 till, I know where I'm going. Do you? Do you know where you're going? I didn't ask you where you went to church. I didn't ask you, have you been baptized? I didn't ask you how much Bible you know, how much you know about religion. You see, religion, you can throw religion out the window because there's only one way to Jesus Christ. John 10:9-10 tells us to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you shall be saved. Same thing as that says. So all you got to do this morning, just think of this as a preacher done this, or I've heard this. Think of this as a big airport you're sitting in. You're waiting on a flight. There's a flight coming that's going to take us all to heaven. Are you standing in that airport without a ticket? Are you in line trying to get a ticket, or do you have the ticket to get on the plane when he comes? Because when he comes, you know, we think about all these things that's going to happen in Revelation and all. He says he comes as a thief in the night. Just like that, and it's over. It's over. Wait a minute, let me get my ticket. It's over. Those of us that know Jesus Christ is going home to be with the Lord, and those of us that don't is going to bust hell wide open. There's no in between. There's no preacher, no good saint that you knew here on earth. There's no priest. There's no nobody. Only one. And he said, I assure you that if you believe in me, that you pass from death to life. And so I asked you this morning, are you here dead walking among the living? Do you have a ticket? 5 minutes to 12. And if the Lord comes, are you ready? Because it's not going to be, you look up there and the clouds are rolling back and all these angels line up on each side with horns like the artists have got. You know, they line up with harps and horns. It's going to be like a firework going off on the 4th of July. And it's going to be over. It's going to, in a moment, in the twinkle of the eye, as lightning flashes from the east to west, it's over. Are you ready? Father, I come to you this morning. Lord, I praise you and I honor you and I love you. And Lord, I pray that people take your word, Lord God, and not only hear it, but do what it says, Lord God. What your word says, Lord God, not what some man says or not what some man has thought up, Lord God, but what the man has wrote in the book. God, I give you praise. I give you honor. I give you glory. Lord, I just ask you to be with us this week, Lord God. And Father, I pray for the family, the lost loved one that we got next Saturday, Lord God. And Father, just if there's one here, Lord, that doesn't know you, I pray that they make that decision today. I pray that if there's a Christian in here this morning, God, that maybe wants a closer walk. God, I pray that if there's one here that wants to join this church, Lord God, that they do that. But God, I want them to know, Lord God. We want them to join this church, Lord God. But Father, we want them to know you more than anything, Lord God. God, we give you the praise, and we give you the honor, and we give you the glory. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord.